Hello, and welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. Thriving is something I think everyone longs to be in life. But what does a thriving life look like for a follower of Jesus? This week, Pastor Nathan finishes our Vision Frame series where he completes the three-part strategy cycle of gather, link, and thrive.
We're finishing our Vision Frame series today, and we're not trying to be cutesy. It's not about a slogan. These are things that need to be embodied. If we've been to retreat, wherever we've been, and we've said yes to Jesus, there are things that begin to be produced and come out of our lives. Agreed? Because when he calls us by name, we say yes, and we become followers of Jesus. And I want to hit on some of those things today. A couple Sundays ago, Pastor Sheldon and Nate and Andrew did a great job of introducing our vision frame. We're going to have some review up here. And then last week, Pastor Andrew stepped at the last minute to pinch hit for me and did a great job as well. But our mission is about loving God, loving people, living transformed. The whole idea is that if we're really doing the first two, it is transformational. Because when that's that palms up living, we're receiving, we're giving, and it's life-changing. It's life-changing. We're not here for ourselves. It's not about us. It's about loving God, others, and pouring out our lives, living transformed. And then we go to our values, and our values aren't just changing with cultural whims. They are things that we believe are rooted in God's word, and they're basic, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit today in Thriving Piece about truth, worship, prayer, kindness, and generosity. Okay, those are things like your parents need to see at home, your brothers and sisters need to see at school. Listen, your school friends will accept you for the person you are in Christ if the same person shows up every day. Got it? That consistency, just say, this is who I am. Who are we? If we've said yes to Jesus, we can say, I am a child of God. That's our identity. That's what we live through, that lens. And then we go next to our strategy. And our strategy says, we're going to talk about that today. Andrew talked about gathering and linking, but then thriving. That's God's purpose. He said, I've come to give you a full life. I don't want you just to exist. I don't want you just to get through. I don't want you just to survive. I want you to have the kind of life that I died to give you to make possible. And finally, the measures. When we incorporate these things in our life, they're going to show up, and we're going to be constantly doing these things. Because it's about being leads to doing. We're constantly gathering. We're gathering all the time because God's given us the invitation. In that gathering environment, we begin to grow. We're much better together. We're givers. That palms up, giving, receiving, passing out our talents, gifts, whatever. Going, not just sending, saying, go there and do that, but we say, how can I help? I'm here. I'm here to serve. And then that means a genuine life. We're never talking about a perfect life there. We're talking about genuinely sold out to Jesus, and that's what he can work with. So reviewing again, when we go back to the next slide, I thought as the guys were talking about, a great way to illustrate it is to go back and to look at the outer ring of our logo. And here's what it means together. It's what we're doing right now. It's what we're doing online. God's given us the invitation to come into his presence. And we're gathered like that today. See it? We're kind of all kinds of shapes and sizes. That's us in the middle. That's the sheep. You know, we're it. We're there. Gathering's good, but how many of you know it's not the end? You can go to a great retreat and you can gather in God's presence with each other, but what's going to carry you beyond that is how you link with him and with each other. So the second slide, we take it another step, and that's where, and these could represent groups, it could represent ministry groups, it could group age areas, pods, whatever, but in various ways, we begin to connect and link. And how many of you know that's where the power is? It's like when the cells in the body multiply in a healthy way, it's a good thing, and it brings life. And then we'll go to the final one, the sweet spot later. But I want to just talk about this a little bit. So God's created, he's gifted, he's called all of us to do more than just get through, as I mentioned. He wants us to have a joy-filled journey from here to heaven. That's what he wants. So he calls us to thrive. You can look probably in your Bible a concept, and you can't find the exact word thrive, but we feel like it summarizes so much from God's word. This scripture jumped out at me years ago when I was reading the Christmas story at the end. But I think when I think of thriving, I think of Jesus in Luke 2:52. What's it say? Jesus grew. Fully God, fully man, but Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Do you see it? Loving God and loving people. Jesus grew in that. He developed that. What an unbelievable impact he had, even when he walked this earth. So we're talking about thriving as that abundant life experience of living in favor with God and people. And that doesn't mean we're wind checkers. That doesn't mean we're going along with every opinion. No. But we have a compassionate love from God to people, and it flows from us to them. as we offer ourselves to God in that daily worship experience. He fills us with His Spirit, and we become that daily living transform. One of my favorite passages, I have a lot, but Romans 1, 12, 1 and 2. So look at the haves. It's kind of the first part is God's part, and then here's our response. Verse 1. So dear brothers and sisters, that's us, that's family language, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Any agreement there? He doesn't owe us a thing. We owe Him big time, do we not? We owe Him everything that we are. Okay, so He said, I beg with you, offer your body. That's the least you can do. I'm paraphrasing now. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. Who? He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. It's not about your favorite song. Those are good. We like those things. But the best way to worship, God's favorite way for us to worship, is by offering all of ourselves to Him. We want to please Him and worship, don't we? That's where it begins. And then we find our response, the second verse, in this thriving life that He's called us to. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. As I say, don't be a wind checker. Don't see which way the wind's blowing and just go along with it. No. Here's God's part. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And that's a drastic change. Why? Because our identity is now, as a follower of Jesus, I am a child of God. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. All the time, Pastor, I want to know God's will, God's will, God's will. Well, we see it right here. If you offer yourself as an act of worship, as a living and holy sacrifice that He finds acceptable, He will make His will known to you. It's going to be good, pleasing, and perfect. How does that sound? You're not going to miss it. You're going to get it. You're going to hit the sweet spot. So He enables us to do that. It's all Him. I love John 10:10, and I may allude to it later, read it later, but the second part of the verse says, I have come, Jesus speaking, He said, I've come that you might, they might, we might have life and have it to the full. I want life to the full. That's not circumstantial. That doesn't mean we never have any problems or heartaches, but it means in the middle of it, we can have that joy and a freedom that is indescribable and cannot be explained nor explained away many times. But here, I want to hit this. I was thinking about those values, and I was thinking about truth, and they did a great job of hitting it, but I want to dig a little deeper here, because I've come to this conclusion as I was working on this message and working on the outline. There's no way we can thrive unless we decide to live in and walk in the truth. You hear me? That's the only way. That's got to be the foundation we choose to build our lives on. And there are tons of people today that they think truth is relative to what we feel or what we're told, but God's word has something else to say. Psalm 119, the longest chapter of the Bible, isn't it interesting that it deals with the word of God over and over again? And it says this in verse 160, all you say can be trusted. All you say, God, can be trusted. Your teachings are true and will last forever. Did you hear that? Whose teachings are true and last forever? God's. Very clear. God's, we've got to align with His truth. All right, I've got a news flash for you. I know for some of you, this is breaking news. Culture never did, never does, never will create truth. You hear me? Never. Culture, truth doesn't come from culture. It's to reflect it, but it does not come from culture. God is the truth source. So wake up. Listen, if you're following the truth, small t, that doesn't align with God and His word that is in you, then it's not truth you're walking in. And if you're not walking in truth, what are you walking in? Lies. Deception. So true. The Bible says very clearly, you can check it out, but it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then it goes on to say, so in Hebrews 13, so do not be attracted to strange new ideas. That's what God's word says. We don't look to culture. We look to Him, because God's truth rules, not the majority, not public opinion, not culturally popular things. Listen to John 17:17. What's it say? Your word is the truth. So let this truth make them completely yours. In other words, that's what's going to help us to live transformed on a daily basis if we are totally, totally surrendered to His word. His word is the truth. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you're lost, you need a star to follow. You need true north. You've got to, when the storms are blowing, you've got to have an unshakable standard of truth that you can align your life with. When I deal with people and they come to me with spiritual issues, it almost always comes down to this, And this isn't an age-related thing. It's across the board. It's because we're not getting God's word in us to the degree that we need to. And if we don't get God's word in us, we will not stand. We will fall for anything. But when we have God's word in us, and there's so many ways to do that creatively now, there's no excuses. It'll be like a standard. It'll be a shield that's raised up against the lies of the enemy that try to attack and just say all kinds of cultural things that are totally outside of God's word. His word is truth. That's where we stand. This is what jolted me and got me to bear down a little bit on this message, because a friend who sends text out weekly, some of you probably got it, but he quoted George Orwell, a futurist, I believe, who lived from 1903 to 1950, if I'm not mistaken. Here's what he wrote years ago, obviously. The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Wow. And I might add, the more it will hate those who live it. So we're not suggesting that following Jesus is going to win you a popularity contest. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. That didn't win him a popularity. I mean, he ended up on a cross. We sang about that. Christ, be magnified. And I'm willing to hang there with you, Lord, to identify with you. So hear me, all of you, especially my young friends today. We talk a lot about grace and we believe in grace, but grace must never be extended at the expense of truth. Could I say that again? Grace must never be extended at the expense of truth. If it's grace without truth, it's not truly grace. Grace and truth are not synonymous with acceptance and tolerance in our society. By the way, the truth is not political. It never was, but it will nearly always be politically incorrect and go against the grain. Truth is not a political statement. God's word is our source, the unchanging foundation, the standard of truth. Truth is not to be defined, determined, diminished by man. Cultural values come and go, but God's word remains the same forever, so we got to keep getting it in us. His word remains the same forever. And so I just have been asking today, I want you to really think about, where is your truth source coming from? You think it's a where, but I'm suggesting that it's a who. There's an agenda behind the truth that's being peddled in your direction, and it's the father of lies. There's only two. There's God's truth, and there's the enemy's truth. He's going to try to distort anything that God stands for. So we need to ask who. Where? There's a worldview. There's an agenda behind it trying to wear us down. The Bible says that Jesus came into this world absolutely full of grace and truth, the perfect balance. He loved everybody, yet he spoke straight. He was kind in all of his dealings. He embraced only the truth, and he never spoke anything but the truth. But I want to tell you, in his loving grace and mercy, he never accepted sin as righteousness. Never accepted sin as righteousness. In turn, we've got to take our clue. If Jesus grew, we must never accept sin and relabel it as right. No matter what our culture says, no matter what. What's our guideline? A verse like Psalm 119, 11. I have hidden your word where? In my heart, that I might not sin against you. I'm living for what God thinks because I'm a child of God. How about you? I want to please him. I want to honor him. God has given us all, make no mistake about it, the gift of free will to choose what we will receive and believe is truth. That God has gifted that to us. We can choose to live the way we want now. We can do whatever we absolutely want to, but we can live it now, but we're also going to live it eternally. We can always choose to sin, but sin always moves us away from God. Sin always brings distance. Sin always creates separation from God. That's why he gives us his word of truth, words of truth. These times remind me of passages that I've read at old times in the Old Testament, reminding some people and cultures that have drifted away from God. And it says something like this: in those days there was no king, and everyone began to do what was right in their own eyes. Man, does that describe our culture, whatever. But I'm telling you what, we do have a king, and his name is Jesus. And he embodies the truth. He is the truth. He says of himself, I am the way, the truth, and life. And he's saying, that'll never change. You can take that to the bank, and I'm the only way in. Amen. I'm the only way to heaven. And man, almost anything that comes from our culture, it'll be stirred up over the identity of Jesus. That's where you can get to the heart of a problem. They'll attack the identity of Jesus and say, he's not the way, he's one of the ways. But Jesus said of himself, do you believe he's a liar? No, he spoke the truth because he was truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can only come to the Father through me. Is it Psalm 14:12? I don't think I put it up on the screen that says something like this. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death and destruction. So truth isn't up for grabs today. Now I understand at the ripe old age of 66 or whatever I am, I understand more than ever before my dad's favorite verse that I tell you all about that I can still hear him quoting in his husky voice. And it's 3 John 4. It's not 3 John 1 4. It's 3 John verse 4. There's no chapters in that. But here it goes. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. What does that do for a father? What's that do for a grandfather? That's everything, because you know they're not going to go astray if they're walking in the truth. My teenage friends, what you experienced this weekend was real. Now we get to walk it out. And we can only walk it out as we walk in the truth. The first thing is we've got to connect with Jesus. I'm going to do 3 quickies and out here. But we've got to connect with Jesus. You hear us talking about that all the time. We've been calling it Y2J, and I know it just rolls off the tongue very simply, but I mean, that's more than just something. That is a life-changing experience. And so we're recognizing this scripture, and I just want to read portions of it quickly from John chapter 10. Jesus was explaining the illustration he gave in the first verse. He said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep, okay? He's the gate. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. We're the sheep. And I got to tell you, some of you smelled a little bit like it today. Smelled like a locker room there when I was walking through the youth group. I've got some extra fumes in my office or something if you need them, okay? Just kidding. Well, not really. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. I mean, he's saying, like John 10:10, he said that for a reason, because there's people out there trying to get us off track. He said, yes, I am the gate. Here it is again. Those who come in through me will be saved. And he's saying, basically, only those who come through me. You can't shortcut it. You can't come in the back door. You can't go in the side door. You have to come through me. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures, green pastures. And if you're a sheep, that's really good because you eat grass, okay? That may not appeal to us, but I mean, if you're a sheep, that's a really good thing, because they wanted peace and security of a lush green pasture. There it is. The thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy wants to destroy you, but he said, my purpose trumps that, is to give you a rich and satisfying life. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrificed his life for sheep. How did he do it? Once and for all on the cross. He paid for our sins so that we could come to not just meet Jesus, but we could know him. He said, a hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming, verse 12, will abandon his sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. So the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. And I want to tell you, that was talking about that. People that oppose the truth, there are wolves out there in sheep's clothing. And they are out to destroy us, to scatter the flock, to shake our foundation of what we believe and about God's word of truth. They'll run. Why? They'll abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, isn't their shepherd. He scatters them. The hired hand, it goes on to say, runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. But here he says again, verse 14, here's the invitation. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. That's why we say, that's where it all begins, saying yes to Jesus. Jesus is a figure in history. Yes, he was a historical figure, and from cover to cover in the Bible, big surprising ways. Those of you that during the Bible recap, you know how she just uncovers the glimpses of Christ that we see all the way through the Old Testament, time and time and time again. He didn't just show up in the New Testament. He's there all along. That's where we begin to connect with him. And I want you to see in this passage that he invites us to come and follow him. He says, okay, if you're my sheep, you're going to know my voice. How many of you are into name recognition? I mean, are you pretty good at recognizing a name, like you're on a phone? Do you know who it is before they say who they are? I'm strong on that. Voice recognition is a big thing to me. Like, even after my mom died, my aunts would call to check on me, her 2 sisters. And as soon as I'd pick up the phone, I mean, I knew it was either Aunt Melva or Aunt Faith. I could just tell by the nature of the voice. And man, it took me back to my childhood. And I still have that because it's even with aging, sometimes, a lot of times, voices remain the same. And voice recognition is huge. You know, I know it's not true for you teens, but listen, I tell you why mine is not a happy story. Listen to what they used to do when I was in elementary school. You know, we'd walk into class and see, back in our day, we had movie projectors, like reel-to-reel, like with film, that would go through the camera and flash on the screen. Have you ever heard of that? Come on, adults, help me out. Anybody remember that? And if we'd walk into a class and there was a movie projector set up, we didn't care if it was whatever it was about, as long because it was a distraction and we wouldn't have to do the studies. But in grade school, at least in Goshen, Indiana, maybe that was special, they started showing us pictures or films about, at the beginning of those things, it was about never taking candy from strangers, about being kidnapped. Did anybody else ever hear of those or see those? It scared me to death. And it always had some slick greaser pull up, you know, with a convertible, and he's tantalizing you, holding up things. Hey, come over here, Sonny. Hey, come over here. I should have done what my neighbor, Mrs. Sifros, used to do, and I said, would you shut up? I don't know you. Oh, that's a really good point. I just thought of that in this message. Because when a strange voice is calling us that doesn't align with God, we have the spiritual authority to say, would you shut up? I don't know you. I know you, but I don't know you, except I don't know you. I really know who you are and where you come from, because your word doesn't line up with the word of truth. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Searforth. You're still preaching it with your life. I love it. I love it. He said, come follow me. And when he says, come follow me, so the whole idea was never take candy from a stranger, because they're trying to lure you in and steal you away and kidnap you. But they said, you need to go to those trusted voices that you know. And I remember when I was a little kid growing up, and maybe it would storm in the middle of the night. We didn't have air conditioning in the summer. The windows were open. And I remember I would get scared. I'd wake up, have a nightmare, and I'd call out in my shaky voice, ever-changing voice, daddy, mother, and I can't tell you how calming it was for them to call me by name. I recognized their voice, and they said, Nathan, it's going to be okay. We're here. I'm daddy. I'm here. I'm mother. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. It's the same with Jesus. When you come, when you not just meet him, but you come to know him, he calls you by name. And you don't want to run away from that name. All kinds of things are calling your name, but they don't really know you. But he's calling you and saying, come, follow me. You know where we get in trouble? Because it's like we get that scripture turned around and we think we're to invite Jesus to come follow us. That's not the way it works. Follow me. Now, he's with us. He's in us wherever we go. We understand that. But he didn't say, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. He said, I laid down my life. I sacrificed everything for you on the cross. I want you to come and follow me. That's right. And did you know about sheep? And we can talk about that, but they don't do well together. I mean, if they're not together. If you see a sheep alone, you know that they're probably lost or diseased or something like that. They travel in herds. They're in herds together, however a herd size may be. But it's interesting when Jesus talks about leading his sheep, you know how he does it? He says, follow me. But you know what they follow? His voice. His voice. We don't think about leadership that way, but you think about it. I mean, even though it's coming through the sound system, you know, if I move in different places, if I'm out there and speaking, you'll know my voice is coming from here. They're trying to bridge that spatial gap, and maybe have by now. But you understand? He led by his voice. And I'm praying that at school you can hear him calling your name. Yeah. Nathan, follow me. Follow me. And you know what will happen? When you start following him, there'll be others that start following you as you follow Christ. But you're not pointing to yourself, you're pointing to him. Christ be magnified. Christ be alive and well through me. So it's about linking with Jesus. Retreats, the experiences of it are so good. And life-changing things happened this week that we'll never get over. But I also know the emotions run high, and I've been through that many, many times, year after year after year. And I always get caught up in it, the positive impact of being together. But the bottom line that's going to sustain it is if you've come to a clear decision that I'm going to thrive because I'm going to stay connected with Jesus. I got connected with Jesus at retreat. I got reconnected with Jesus at retreat. And I'm going to stay connected. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to get his word in me. And then the second thing, and I'm just all over the place, but it applies. The second thing is we've got to be connected to each other. I'm telling you, I've been doing this a lot of years, and nothing gives me a greater thrill than walking through these rows today and seeing all the potential, God potential that's wrapped up, and I am so grateful for that. I love to see new faces, some not from our church, but just people here today. And it's just so key that you be connected with each other because we're stronger together. We're stronger together. Be looking for that. I've been telling our congregation here like crazy, you wouldn't believe the new families that are on a ring of mine that I have in the office that I review regularly. And people saying all the time, oh, Pastor, we're having so many new people. I said, yeah, what are you doing about it? Who are you meeting? Who are you reaching out to? Who are you connecting with? What do I always say? You've heard it said, teenagers especially. Every person I know is just one friend away from Jesus. One friend away from youth. I talked to a gal today, and she was very timid, and her parents were very surprised that she was willing to go to retreat. And I said, why? What helped you decide to go to retreat? What do you think she said in one word?
Friends.
Will you be that friend? Look at me. If Worcester Naz is your home, then this is your church, and you're responsible to reach out and connect with others. You don't have to be best buddies and friends, but always looking for a way to include. I am so rejoicing about all the kids here. My heart breaks for first and second worship when I see kids in high school and middle school that aren't connected anywhere. And they're just friendships away. Friendships away. Will you do your best? Will you commit? Will you try to include? Will you look for those that may be on the outside? Because God knows that we are so much better together. Come on. Am I right or what? You don't like to be loners. You don't like to be loners. Do you know what it's like to come to a new church or a youth group by yourself? I remember my freshman year of high school when we were switching classes and all that, went to Hoover High, and I remember, wouldn't you know it, there was a class facing the door, and I walked right in like I was going to class, and it was a class of seniors. And I was about 4'8", you know? Like, yeah. I'll tell you, I wasn't welcomed. I was hooted out of the room, whatever. But I outgrew them. These things have to be intentional. That's why we're taking time to teach it. We've got to be intentional. We've got to connect with Jesus. We've got to reconnect with Jesus, whatever the case may be. But then we've got to connect with each other. He gives us that clear example. I've got to hurry. And finally, when that happens, when we're really connected with Jesus and we're following him and we're connected with each other, there's strength together. And then we can truly do the third thing in thriving, and that is to live for his glory. That's one of my favorite life verses that I've adapted as well. John 12:28, that says, Father, bring glory to your name. That's a prayer that you can pray at school, in the locker room, on the field, wherever you are. You can pray that prayer. Lord, I'm in a tough situation now. Father, bring glory to your name. I guarantee you, if you pray that prayer, you'll never be disappointed with the outcome of any given situation. Lord, I'm in a different place with the test. I've done my best to study. Don't bail me out, Lord, if I didn't study. But Lord, I've studied. Father, bring glory to your name. I just want to do my best today. Father, bring glory to your name. I want to tell you, that's the kind of lifestyle that is so attractive to others as they watch us. Connect with Jesus, have you? Connect with each other in new and deeper ways. Keep some of these connections going that have happened even over the weekend. And finally, just say, God, when I go back to school on Monday morning or wherever I may be, I'm going to live for your glory. I want my life to declare your goodness and faithfulness. I'm wrapping it up here, and I want the band back up if we could. We're going to end with a great song. But let me go back to where I started. It all begins with Jesus. Because meeting Jesus and following Jesus are two different realities. Just because you meet someone doesn't mean that you know them. You get to know them by spending time with them, by walking with them. Jesus called his disciples. He met them, but he called them to walk with him on the journey, a 3-year journey. It's that getting to know, I call it a relational walk, that goes all the way from here to heaven. So Jesus is calling you today. Maybe some of you have responded some time ago. Maybe some of you did that this weekend. But he's calling you. He's saying, I want you. But he's not saying you. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. He's calling you by name. Can you hear? He said, I want you to follow me. Together, we can do amazing things. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? Will you follow me? It's a relationship of presence. The relationship of presence. I know a lot of people that are seem to be trying to coast on what a relationship was instead of what the relationship is. How many of you know that relationships are only as good as they are right now? Are you with me? I know families that have been shattered by divorce, and there used to be a good relationship, but there's not a good relationship now, and it's tragic, and the fallout is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Are you answering his call? I'm going to invite the band just to come on out. They may be double clutching there, but would you please come and be in place? Follow me. Do you recognize his voice? Unfortunately, sometimes I'm afraid that we do the Mrs. Searfoss to actual God. It's almost we say, shut up to him. I don't know you. That's what we do when we act like we don't know him, when we stiff arm him. When we're all fired up and we go to school, we can't stand in certain crowds. We deny him. But he keeps calling your voice. You remember when I'd get in trouble at home and I'd tell you, and my mom would come walking down the hardwood hallway and start knocking at my door. And she kept knocking, and the door wasn't closed. It was cracked. She could have just come in, but she didn't. She just kept knocking. And then what really got to me was when she started calling my name. She started calling my name, Nathan, let me in. She could have barged in. Door was open. Let me in. We need to talk. Nathan. And I can still hear, all those years later, I can still hear the comfort of her calling me by name. Look at me. That's exactly what Jesus is doing to you today. He's for you. He wants you to be established in truth so you're not shaken by the things you encounter when you get up into high school or middle school or beyond. You can know God's truth, and God's truth will endure forever. Is anybody glad about that? We have true north that we can follow. He wants to take your sin. He wants you to surrender yourself. And he wants you to live that transformational life on a daily basis. That together looks like this. I was reminded of Acts 2, a couple of verses. Day after day, they met in a group in the temple, and they had their meals together in their homes, and they ate with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Don't we want that? We want the Lord to daily be adding to our numbers those who are being saved. So as we close today, I've asked that they sing God So Loved. And it's a great song. It's that invitation about what he's done on our behalf. And I want us to worship. But I also want you to ask these questions, you know, where are you merely just getting by or surviving? Where do you need to thrive in your life today? Do you need to say yes to Jesus? Do you need to firm up that commitment? Are you following him? Are you truly following him? Are you thriving and connected with others? You know, around here, NAS groups are so important in varying forms. And we don't have so much a difficulty of people being intimate as we do needing people to step up and a host to facilitate and to lead. Are you willing to say yes to body life today? If not here, find some place where you can. Are you willing to travel together because we're so much better together? And then thirdly, what might it look like to live for his glory specifically this week? What attitude or actions might he want to change that will follow this declaration, Father, bring glory to your name? I'm going to invite you to stand, if you will. Father, thank you so much for a great morning. Thank you for the celebrating we're doing because of people who have said yes to you. Thank you for all the good things that you're doing in our lives. We're excited. We know these are tough days, but we can hear your voice. Thank you for calling us by name. Thank you that there is a way in. No matter where we are, there's a way in, and you are the gate. Thank you for sacrificing your life so we could be eternally connected with you, and so that our connection with each other would have depth and be life-changing, so we can live for your glory, to point and praise. To God be the glory, great things you've done. So we continue to worship you, and I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God so loved the world. I love this song. Great words. Let's worship. If you want to use the altar stairs, if you need to come in relation with Jesus at home, you can do that, but you need to. That was so key for that girl to tell me this morning about that decision she'd made and others. You need to tell somebody, but let's follow through. If you still need to follow him, you've met him, but you're not following, would you make that decision now? Let's worship as they sing.